Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Football Ramble. There were wins for Man City and Villa and Zlatan still tearing it up. It's Tuesday, 22nd of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Well, 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 if it isn't Andy and Jim... Good to see you, chappies.
Yeah, how you doing?
Likewise.
Oh, clinical from Andy.
Come on, come on. We've got loads to chat about.
We've got
I'm ready.
It's the Premier League is coming thick and fast. We've got a touch of Serie A as well, as I alluded to at the start of the show. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, you're in for an absolute treat. And of course, this what would you call it? Game week of Premier League fixtures. We were in for we had a big old treat, didn't we? The record for the most goals scored in a single Premier League game week was broken.
I find the term game week so weird.
It's a bit very American, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be part of like official parlance. But like, are you looking forward to the next game week?
It's not a thing anyone ever says,
is it?
Really.
Yeah,
round
like,
of fixtures.
It's like the Champions League match days. It's like, oh, shut up. No one calls it that.
What? That's the thing. I do call it match day. So
you're,
I'm
you're
really
different, though. Aren't
I'm
you?
Really.
You're
like, yeah.
You're a traitor.
Yeah. You're a legitimate.
That's the word. Traitor.
Well done, Jim. We smoked him out.
But the thing is, I think game week works a little better because they're not all on the same day. So match day doesn't really make
round of fixtures.
Sense. Round of fixtures. That's not just very economical.
God, just call it the football. Why do you hate the flag? You know what?
I bet you don't call an album. You just call it some songs. Just get on with it. It's just some
why
songs.
Why do I become northern in this analogy?
Yeah.
Jim, that's a good question.
Jim with his bag of songs. Yeah. Manchester City. They got themselves a win against Wolves. Good win as well. Always a tricky place to go, et cetera, Andy.
Yes.
But they were playing in their third kit, their fancy new Paisley kit. That got a little bit of titillation
I
on
think
Twitter.
Someone pointed out that it's got quite a strong WhatsApp background vibe.
Yeah. It does.
I would agree with that.
Yes.
They like an experimental third kit, don't they? They've had the sort of Hacienda New Order referencing kit last season. Mm-hmm. Now they've got the Paisley thing. It's almost like...
Is that what that was? The yellow and orangey sort of thing?
Yeah, and with the like black and yellow stripes. It was the kind of artwork of a lot of stuff from around that time.
Oh, that's
so that's different from the one where they had that shirt that was all the away kits from the past at the same time put together, which is kind of like wearing your entire wardrobe for one night out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I quite like that. But yeah, it's almost like All Saints designed it, isn't it? It's like they're just sort of turning the third kit over to like a sort of guest designer. I quite like it.
I thought you meant the band for a minute there. Considering what happened with her and Mr. Gallagher, you know, I thought that was quite poor taste, to be honest with you, Jim.
Well, that's not what I meant. And okay. I apologise to anyone that was offended, including you, mate.
but we're good with for Manchester City nonetheless, despite their sartorial choices.
Yeah.
Interesting to see Nathan Ake and John Stones starting.
Yeah, Ake just seemed to slot right in, didn't he?
He's got that presence about him, doesn't he?
He does. And also, I think City started so strongly that in that first half in particular, there wasn't a huge amount for him to do that was that dramatic. You know, I think they'll, surprisingly, I think even though Wolves came back into the game very well, he'll have a sterner test than that, I think.
I mean, is a huge part of that, Jim, the fact that Ake playing just means that Fernandinho can play in midfield. I mean, just because Fernandinho can play at the back, does it always mean that he should? I know he's at a slightly more advanced point of his career, but it just reminds me of, if you go back to what, 2006, 2007, where Chelsea missed out on the Premier League title by a whisker, the bit that lost them the title was the bit where Essien was playing centre-back to substitute John Terry when he was injured. Not because Essien wasn't capable as a centre-back, but they missed him so much in midfield. Now, Fernandinho's a little bit further down the line. You know, he's even been linked with a move away at various points this week, but he's still super important to City, and him and Rodri together just helped them just grab the game by the throat, really, didn't it?
I say on that sort of token, Javier Mascherano going back in defence. I know it's a bit different because, as you say, he could do it and it was with a different side. So, but I always liked him in that defensive midfield role.
Yeah, yeah.
He was so good at it.
Barcelona even did that with Alex Song, didn't they? They seemed to love it. Like, the idea of defending is a bit beneath them. We'll name defenders, but they are really midfielders.
You know, we are
pure artisans here. This is not just football.
You know whose fault that is? Dmytro Chigrinsky. Because when...
I knew you were going to blame him.
Well... He gets the blame for everything, really, these days, doesn't he? But when he got bought by Barcelona,
for a lot of money, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was like 25 mil. And this was like, what, 11 years ago, I think? 11, 12 years ago. And so when they brought him in, and Guardiola realised quite quickly, he's a great defender, he doesn't fit us football-wise. And at that point, he thought, yeah, maybe... I'm going to stick an extra midfielder. I basically want a team of midfielders anyway. So I'll just, so we can circulate the ball, which is our way of defending, we'll just have midfielders in defence, and Puyol can do all the other stuff because he's an incredible athlete.
Well, they also, in the Champions League final in 2009, on this sort of note, Jim, you remember? We were there. Big Yaya Toure was centre-half. It was remarkable in the final against Manchester United.
Absolutely outrageous.
Didn't make one bleeding bit of difference.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
It's like having Messi at left back.
Indeed. And Jesus Navas these days, full back. There you are, ladies and gentlemen. A little round up of defensive midfielders who've gone into centre half. But yeah, so Manchester City, I mean, Ake has played defensive midfield once or twice in his time, but we think he'll be a centre half for Manchester City. Is John Stones' Man City career still intact, Jim? You would suggest so on that, wouldn't
absolutely.
You?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Which is good, because Guardiola said a few seasons ago, didn't he? He loves John Stones as a player, he loves him as a guy, he loves all his mistakes. I think he is a. He is a guy who's very, very good at improving players. So maybe he's not quite given up on Stones, or maybe it's just about, you know, freshness in terms of, you know, City have obviously, you know, they're only just starting their season. So maybe he's sort of almost rotating early.
But he needs to get a tune out of Stones, because, you know, defensively, Andy, last season, that was one of the big areas that people were critical of them.
I think a lot of it, though, is how long they missed Laporte, right? If he's in that defence the whole season, that's a very, very different story.
It is, but you can't rely on just one man if you're going to go deep in all the competitions and so on and so forth.
Well, it's all about partnerships, isn't it? And Stones has never really had that consistent partner next to him at Manchester City, in a consistent experience partner. That's why you looked at the team sheet yesterday and I didn't immediately think Stones and Ake, that's going to work. I didn't think that at all. Also, I think we should point out the fact that Manchester City deserved to win this game. They should have put it away in the first half when they were excellent. Wolves were pretty average, I thought.
Yeah. A bit awed by the situation almost.
Maybe, but I think when you get to the second half, just because the result ended up as it did, City had a couple of scrapes. There were a couple of chances. There was one particular chance that Raul Jimenez, you would expect him to put away. And the goal that he scored was much easier than that chance that he missed when he got the cross from the right and sort of cuffed it wide of the far post. So, you know, he takes one of those chances, it could be very different discussion.
Big fan of Daniel Podence, nutmegging Kevin De Bruyne. Nutmegging Kevin De Bruyne to whip in an assist. That is pretty special. Yeah, to get a trophy for that in this day and age.
It is one of those things where you think, if I did that in five-a-side football, and admittedly I have far lower standards than Daniel Pedence when it comes to playing football, you want to put your foot on the ball and receive proper respect for it rather than carrying on for the rest of the move, don't you?
We saw a little bit of Ferran Torres, Andy.
Yeah, who I think has been... He was excellent in those two games for Spain. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to contribute for City. I really do. But I think you look at the bench that they went into last night's game with, and you think there is an opportunity for him at the moment. Because as things stand, and obviously that could change relatively quickly, they're not deep. Mm. So if you are someone like Ferran Torres, I think you've got a chance to make an early impression.
Mm. Kevin De Bruyne did his thing again, Jim, as he does. I think it was Jamie Carragher who was saying, you know, he's just off kind of Messi and Ronaldo, and Guardiola was full of praise. Yeah. When Ronaldo... Well, is Ronaldo ever going to retire, actually?
I don't
we'll
think
come
so.
On to
he's not.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic in a minute. What I was going to say, though, hypothetically, if Ronaldo does ever retire and Messi does as well... De Bruyne, he's obviously a lot younger than them. He could be the guy who kind of... I know it's a bit of a slightly futile to say could dominate the Ballon d'Or, but you know what I mean? He could be seen as like the best player in the world.
Oh, completely. I mean, Mbappe would be the other one, obviously. Yeah. He's got a lot of time on his side to do that. That's something you would think that's almost nailed on. But yeah, absolutely. He's completely in that bracket, isn't he? I mean, I think... It's his position is such that he's naturally not going to score as many goals as those two. And I think their numbers... kind of
but his numbers
isn't that the issue though, that the best player in the world anymore, it's not really about being the best player in the world, it's having the best numbers
in
the world.
Well,
Messi and Ronaldo have completely changed that. I always think though with Messi, I've said this before, discussing him just by the numbers, it feels quite vulgar to me. You know, it doesn't really explain his game, does it? If you're explaining Leo Messi to a space alien, would you start with the numbers? I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'd start with the
magic.
I start with the transfer saga. That's what I'd do. He's there, he's not sort of there.
That would get the finger glowing, wouldn't it?
Oh, it certainly would. And E.T. would bugger off home if he heard all that crap. Andy, Fabio Silva made his debut. You were teaching us just before we came in how to pronounce Portuguese names, and you sort of tail off at the end. That's the trick.
Yeah, that's right. There is.
Go on, give us a blast.
Well, Fabio Silva. Fabio Silva.
It's like someone sort of switches you off when you're nearly there.
There's no flourish. It's the opposite of Spanish in that sense. Yeah, exactly. Imagine you're halfway through saying it and you drop some soup down your chin. I think that's probably the best way to explain it.
Very different to Brazilian Portuguese.
Exactly. Imagine at the end of the word, you're standing on the table and announcing it. To the town.
Exactly, that's the difference.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, what did you think of Fabio Silva making his league debut? Sorry, we should clarify.
He's a super bright footballer, and I think he'll do well. But like everyone else, I mean, I've seen, I think, as much of him as anyone, but at first team level, we don't know that much. Yeah. It's a development project. I can't say that he is worth 40 million euros or he isn't worth 40 million euros at the moment, because we don't know. He wouldn't have been a starter for Porto, because Sergio Conceição, much like Hansi Flick, likes the musclier man.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, after he would have got Fabio in the weights room. I don't think there's
that's
any
why you
doubt
get on
about
so,
that.
That's why he likes you, Andy, so much. That's why you get on so well.
I think so. I think that's why we connect. But I think it will be interesting to see him get a little go. As we said before, not just Manchester City, but not just all Premier League clubs, but all clubs over Europe, because they've not had this proper pre-season, you do think there'll be like chances for unexpected players, really.
Yeah. I think Porto in particular, and a few kind of Portuguese clubs aside from Porto, they're in a sort of kind of unique position in the transfer market, aren't they? Because they are, you look at, they've been used as a stepping stone for players. Someone like Falcao, for example, who's gone on to go to Atletico and then, you know, become a huge, huge name. So you look at players in the Portuguese league and go, hang on, we could get a gem there. If we get them now, we get them on the cheap. And Portuguese clubs know that. So they go, we'll drive up the price. It's like, well, we'll have to pay over the odds for a bargain, but we will.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it'll be cheaper if we go through George Mendes. that's probably the way to deal with it, isn't it?
They're very intelligent when it comes to all this kind of stuff, you know, the Portuguese clubs. Trying to deal with them would be like trying to hash out a deal with Willy Wonka or something. You'd be like, hang on, what is it? I do want the deal. I kind of... And now I'm covered in chocolate. I don't understand what's happening. It'd be very true. But you know that, like, you're kind of happy with what you've got Why is he smiling and laughing and sort of skipping off down the road? Hang on, what's happened there?
But there is a potential bargain from Porto this week, because of course it looks like Manchester United are going to try and get Alex Telles over the line.
Well, I tell you what, Manchester United, Porto can see them coming a mile away. Really, what are they going to get for that for him?
He's only Luke Shaw, their current left back, saying, "Oh, we need players. Like, come right in, come right in."
He can sit around the table. Yeah. You Ed, why don't you bring him along? That'll squeeze out another 5 million.
Yeah,
absolutely. Porto up against Ed Woodward in a flipping transfer
Ed
negotiation.
Ed Woodward is buying them dinner and then giving them whatever they want for Alex Telles.
Just absolutely. Do you remember when they signed...
Have my Nando's black card.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't make them anymore.
When they signed Herrera from...
I
think they're gone. I think they're...
No, that's what they told you, Jim. You're not quite there yet. I told you, you went in too early.
You can't have a blue tick on Twitter and you can't have a Nando's black card.
You can have it all, ladies and gentlemen, if you do it at the right time.
I reckon even Manchester United are going to get Alex Telles for a reasonable price, because he's got less than a year left on his contract and they're having a bit of let's sell him now panic.
You watch him take him to the cleaners this week.
I look forward to that.
I do as well.
I enjoy the confidence in your face there, Marcus.
It's going to be a lovely old job. But yeah, good win for Manchester City. Wolves be a bit disappointed, but you know, it is Man City. It's the sort of early days in the season, etc, etc. Aston Villa beat Sheffield United. Good win for them.
Did anyone else see this fixture like pop up on the fixture calendar and think, oh,
it could ruin that goal scoring record that we're going for?
Villa Sheffield United, not again. It's just after everything that happened last time.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't often say this about a particular part of the ground, but Sheffield United and Chris Wilder must hate the whole team.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, they must do. I mean, what did you think of the red card for Big John Egan? I mean,
it seemed soft when I first saw it, but I think it's because Ollie Watkins doesn't go down.
Yes.
I've almost don't know how to process it.
I know what you mean.
And it doesn't mean it's not a foul, because he's clearly impeding him.
It's like a 30 yarder where the goalkeeper doesn't dive.
Yeah.
Where the goalkeeper thinks, oh, I'm not going to get it. But it's like your duty to do the cosmetic dive, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
30
yarder
that goes
game,
in.
To the
keeper,
spectacle.
Keeper doesn't dive, and you think, well, did that take a deflection? That's reduced it somewhat.
Yes.
It's less spectacular. Did you think it was a red card, Andy?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think
and
we're all agreed.
I think. The more you look at it, the more you realise that the officiating team made a good job of it.
Do you think Matt Target should have been sent off, though, when he gave away the penalty? Because Chris Wilder certainly thought so.
Yeah.
I think that's changed, isn't it? You don't get the double whammy. Yeah. No,
but it's if you're making an effort to get the ball.
I think he was, wasn't he? I think probably so.
I think probably so.
You can see why one was given red and one wasn't.
Yeah, you can, but I do understand Chris Wilder's point as well.
Sure, I mean, but the thing is, though, at the rules at the moment, it's all a bit up in the air with certain things, so you can understand the confusion and therefore the anger. And also, he is managing a team that lost 1-0 at him. You know, that's the real source of the anger.
I mean, I do wonder if with their previous experience, as I was saying, with the recent experience with the whole end, there's an argument for, rather than John Lundstrom, to say, can Aaron Ramsdale take the penalty, because he can kick it harder than anyone in the team and it will definitely be counted as in.
Yeah. Lovely for Martinez on his debut,
yeah,
Jim.
What a save.
It was
well.
A good one, wasn't it?
It was, because a lot of the time if a goalkeeper saves a penalty, it's because there is something deficient about the penalty itself, isn't it? But Lundstrom hit it hard, low and at the corner, and Martinez just got a really strong hand to it, and that is an exceptional save, and I was happy to see it. Because obviously everyone wishes Martinez well. Bernd Leno was trending on Twitter because a lot of Arsenal fans were saying that we should never have sold Martinez, because being an Arsenal fan on the internet is a weird thing, it would seem.
Do you think
how do you view it, Jim? I don't think I've really asked you about it. Like the fact that I like Martinez a lot, but 20 million for a reserve goalkeeper? It sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, it's absolutely necessary. Arsenal have got to raise funds to improve the team in areas that need it to be improved more. And in an ideal world, you'd keep Martinez and you'd perhaps have that competition for places, even though that's not always a good thing.
No.
And that would be a headache at some point. But to get, you know, to replace him with Alex Runison, who's just come in for like 1.5 million or whatever it is, and then have that 20 million for him, they can put that towards, you know, Auer or Thomas Partey or whoever the targets are. It's just, it's an Arsenal need money more than they need Martinez.
The Runison one is quite interesting, I think, because he got the go-ahead to leave Dijon because Peggy Luyendula, who used to play for Lyon, mm-hmm. a very successful striker for them, who's now the sporting director there, said he's a first choice goalkeeper. We can't keep him.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to find a place where he'd be a first choice goalkeeper. And all of a sudden, Arsenal come along and he's like, well, I know I said I wanted to be a first choice goalkeeper, but do you get to play for a big club in the Premier League?
Exactly.
Go on in.
What do you think of Aston Villa? Dean Smith was obviously very pleased with the win and so they've strengthened in terms of Ollie Watkins and obviously they've got the goalkeeper in. He seems to think that they're a lot better this season than they will be last season.
You would think on paper, yeah, but I was a bit worried for Villa actually because I suppose you have to caveat this with saying that if there are, in terms of the teams that you're playing against in the Premier League with 10 men who are setting up for a draw, Sheffield United are right up there in the ones you don't want to play because mm-hmm. they're so organised anyway and they're so good at that. But it was a bit sideways quite often from Villa, wasn't it? They did look mm-hmm. like kind of didn't have a lot of invention or ideas. But I think Ollie Watkins retains the ball very well. There's kind of a bit more to him than just goals. And I think he's going to be a good addition. And it's early days, isn't it? But like, mm-hmm. crucially, they did win this game. You know, they absolutely had to. And it is a difficult test when someone's just trying to not lose.
How many games do Villa get where the pressure is really on them to win, where they're expected to win? And maybe that wasn't the case at the start, but it certainly became that case after Egan was sent off at such an early point in the game. I agree with you, Jim. I think the fact that Villa didn't panic, I think, has to be a positive, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, a win against Sheffield United is the first step towards European glory, Jim. As we spoke about the other
week. Of course, yeah.
So fair play to them. A win and a clean sheet. You can't argue with that. And Tyrone Mings has signed an extension to his contract until 2024. So good news all round, I think, for Aston Villa. Right, ladies and gentlemen, before we go to a break, let's go to Serie A. Last night, Milan beat Bologna 2-0. The man who turns 39 in a matter of weeks, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, spurned a perfect hat-trick, Andy. That's the headline. He scored a header, he scored a right foot from the penalty spot, and then he missed a sitter with the left.
He just dominated the game as well, didn't he? Like, it's tempting to think that, you know, he's just there for little cameos and he takes the penalties, so that was going to... It's going to put some polish on his record, but
he's a flipping force of nature. It is unbelievable.
It is incredible. I mean, I thought a lot of people were quite negative about him going back to mm-hmm. Milan. I thought, and I said on the continent at the time, that I thought he was actually a really good signing because despite the caricature Zlatan, he's actually a great leader in the dressing room. Yeah. He's very good with the young players. It worked very well as soon as he came in, Rafael Leao started to be mm-hmm. more productive. So that was an important thing for them. And he has done something to raise the standards. I didn't imagine him scoring as many goals as he has done.
Yeah, same. I thought it might be a little bit sort of Henry returning to Arsenal, a bit of that.
Yeah.
You know, the odd goal, the odd little moment and so on. You're thinking to yourself, this is just lovely for Arsenal fans to have him back at the club. Give everybody a little bit of a lift. As I say, the odd moment here and there. But you know he's not the player he was. And that's fine. Mm. That would be ridiculous to think he was. And a very different player too. Ibrahimovic, but he is their main man.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's going to be the person they look to all season. He's going to be that focal point of the team. And I notice that you like the numbers now, Andy.
runs for the hare and runs for the hound, as old Brasher, doesn't he?
But yeah, it's great, isn't it? I mean, obviously, the thing about Zlatan for a long time was that he just won titles every season, didn't he? Wherever he went, and obviously, mm-hmm. that is extremely unlikely at Milan this season. But it's like,
he'll settle for a Coppa Italia, isn't he?
Ridiculous kind of athlete. It's just like we were talking about this earlier. It's like, it's a shame that reality doesn't work in a way where you can't pause players at their peak. And like, you just have Pele forever and you have Maradona forever, you know. Yeah. Like, just Zlatan's, that seems to be happening to him naturally somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the various stages of players. You know, you think of Pirlo, for example.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Elvis. You've got the three or four ages of Pirlo, don't mm-hmm. you?
Mm. White suit Elvis is Pirlo, obviously, New York City FC.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Are you saying that Pirlo's going to meet some horrific end, like with a cheeseburger on the toilet? Seems unlikely. Although he's got a vineyard.
That's true.
Not if Aaron Ramsey's got anything to do with it. I thought that was an interesting thing about Juventus at the weekend. The fact that Aaron Ramsey got the start and one of his best ever games for Juventus. If you, like, there's a lot presumed about Pirlo's philosophy. Mm-hmm. But I think it's quite interesting that he picks a player like Aaron Ramsey for his midfield in the first game and gets a lot out of him.
Yeah.
He's going to be full of surprises.
Yeah. So black leather Elvis when he made the comeback would be Pirlo to Juventus after leaving Milan?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just working this out. Excellent, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's grand. All right, let's have a quick break, and after which we'll have some emails.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. We have got a new email address, I'm sure. Is it still new? It's new from last season. It's show@footballramble.com.
Well, I've still got the cling film around my tattoo of it that I've got on my forearm, so I think that means it's still new, yes.
All right, well, fair enough, Andy. We have an email here from Philip Harrington, who says, "Hello all, love the show, a new format. I can't believe you left out not one but two red cards shown by Mike Dean on yesterday's show. The first straight red of the new season went to Kieran Gibbs, and the first red card to a manager was for Slaven Bilic. Deeney was in his element on Saturday." He certainly was. I mean, I think there was so much to talk about from the weekend. Sacrifices were made. And I'm just glad that we get to pick up the pieces, Jim.
Well, indeed. But also, I mean, I think it was probably a deliberate choice to leave it out because that will annoy Deeney. And that will mean that next time he's refereeing a game, he will be centre stage. He will be really, really making it an occasion, mm-hmm. stepping up the drama. So, yeah, I think it was probably tactical.
Yeah, I thought that the pundits were right about Mike Dean. I think it was at half time. Well, I think it was Hargreaves and Joe Coleman. I can't remember now. And they were just saying, look, it was just so unnecessary. You know, Slaven Bilic is just wanting a quick word. And I think if you look at the transcript, Bilic isn't saying anything.
Have you seen the video of it?
Yeah.
Slaven Bilic is kind of shouting at him.
That's only
going one way.
I think it's a bit. I think Deeney was so quick and rude to dismiss him. I think if Deeney had turned around and go, look, I can't talk to you, okay, but he didn't. He was just like, yeah, and that wound up Bilic more.
Every time you say Deeney, I imagine Troy Deeney as a referee.
I think Deeney,
Troy Deeney. Which is interesting. That would have been a frank exchange of views. Troy Deeney had been there.
I think Troy Deeney would have been less confrontational than Mike Dean.
You think?
I'm really interested that you read it that way, because to me it looked like Bilic was always going to get sent off there.
Yeah, and it was funny, the way that Peter Walton described it on BT was like the minute that Bilic comes uninvited onto the pitch, Dean can send him off. It's not actually about the content. But it was interesting in the post-match interview with Bilic, I think it was Matt Smith was saying, well, of course, because the two dressing rooms aren't both in the stand at this point because of COVID, West Brom are out the back, you couldn't go up and speak to him in the tunnel, which is the informal way of doing things. And Bilic just had a little pause and he goes, you should be my lawyer, mate.
I love a bit of that. Love that. West Brom have signed Branislav Ivanovic.
Yeah, that went under the radar, didn't it?
36-year-old Branislav Ivanovic.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Has he gone under the radar because he's generally been in hiding since dropping the Russian cup and shattering it into a million pieces, which was his last act with Zenit?
We've seen players drop cups before, but to shatter a cup is something really special, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What is it made of? You remember when Sergio...
Glass, yeah.
Sergio Ramos dropped, which trophy was it? It wasn't the Champions League.
Copa del Rey.
Oh, was it Copa del Rey? I went under the bus. Yeah. It was still there. It was just a dent, Andy. That's made of Spanish steel, much stronger than our native...
The whole top part of the Russian cup got smashed in. It was amusing because Ivanovic dropped it and he just says, oh no, from all the backroom staff. Yeah. And you just hear this laugh from all the players. but yeah, it was like you smashed something in the kitchen at home, where I think you had... Malcolm, it was, who had the cup and what was left of the cup, and he was picking bits of glass off the pitch and sort of putting them in left of the cup.
Someone's got to do it, haven't
they? What are you doing with a glass trophy? It's ridiculous.
It is. I agree. I mean, from the back...
It's bloody ridiculous, Jim, isn't it?
Yeah, because this is going to happen, isn't it? This is inevitable.
Why has it not happened before? Maybe it has.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, anyway, he won't be able to shatter any trophies because he probably won't win any, but if they did, it's made of stronger stuff. And that was a quote from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves earlier. Thank you very much for noticing. Now, on the subject of Kevin De Bruyne's penalty after he was fouled by Romain Saiss, Sam Campbell emailed this. He said, this is something that's been on my mind for a while, and the penalty awarded to Manchester City has inspired me to share it. Well, Sam, that's not always a good idea. Basically, my idea is that the penalty area needs to be changed. And here we go. Why do you get a free shot at goal when you are fouled in the corner of the 18-yard box and are even going away from goal? I propose it should be only a penalty if both the player and the ball are going directly towards the goal. What we need is we need more convoluted rules, don't we?
More nuance. That's what we need.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything else within the 18-yard box is an indirect free kick. This includes handballs. I mean, I do sort of get his point that, you know, but you have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, and the ball is only ever going away from goal in an attacking sense to come back towards it, isn't it? So yeah. I think you should disregard that.
Email.
But it is interesting, isn't it, that people are starting to look at the way we're changing the rules, or that the rules are changing, we've got nothing to do with it, and thinking that this is the new normal, almost. Let's add more rules. Let's add more nuance so that every little detail is covered in some way. And I think actually that's going the wrong way. We need things to be a bit
can
more
you
clearer.
Imagine,
I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the effort.
VAR trying to figure out which direction the play was going in. Yeah. You'd have the little arrow. Oh, that's 180 degrees. No, it's 181. Yeah. I'm telling you.
That's an area in which Messi could actually weaken your team.
Yes. Yeah. Always going away from goal.
Could I make a suggestion for a rule change?
Go on.
Some people will accuse me of bias here.
Here we go.
But I think if you've won the Community Shield at some point in the season, people say, oh, it doesn't mean anything. Well, to make it mean something, if you've conceded a goal, it's like, that's a bit annoying. Yeah. Ah, ha, 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 we shall employ the Community Shield. And then the Community Shield removes that goal that you've just conceded.
Bollocks. Let's move on from that.
Appreciate your tone, sir.
Right, gentlemen. Something a bit more serious. Leighton Orient are struggling with COVID-19. They're playing Spurs tonight. In theory, at the moment, it hasn't been cancelled. Some people were suggesting that it could be. The club have confirmed a number of first team players have tested positive. So, obviously the wider situation is quite concerning, to say the very least. If they did have to cancel, then apparently Spurs would go through automatically.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anyone that could do with a night off, given the fixture congestion they've got, then it's Spurs. But obviously,
but not for those not reasons, ideal. Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, what I think is the real shame behind this is because that I think they were planning a tribute to the late Justin Edinburgh, the manager of Leighton Orient, who's sadly passed, and of course a former Spurs player of some experience. Mm. So obviously, it's a shame that they might not be able to do that.
Mm. So we'll have to see what what happens there. Gentlemen, let's go to Spain. Some wonderful happenings over in Madrid. Diego Simeone is he summoning the demons at Atletico?
I kind of wondered how he could get darker. And you think there's the football.
Yeah.
There's the fact that he dresses in black for every single game.
I like that. He looks good.
What would be Diego Costa, obviously, what would be the next step on? Would it be like getting Marilyn Manson as your assistant? Some sort of like Satanist performance art on the touchline? That might fill in for when Simeone's suspended and he's up in the stand.
Or signing Luis Suarez, Andy.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
I'd say so. It's an intriguing one. Luis Suarez, we thought, was going to go to Juventus, team up with Cristiano Ronaldo. He even took the Italian citizenship test, which he passed. There are allegations, though, around, and we stress allegations.
In La Repubblica today.
Yeah.
That he cheated.
I love it. The man is relentless. What did he bite one of the questions off the exam sheet or something? Like,
they are allegations. We stress.
Yeah, Bartomeu has now said that he wants a fee, doesn't he? And he's changed his mind over basically paying Suarez himself an exit fee, because it was looking like he was going to go to Atletico on a free. And if he wants a fee, we'll give you a quid.
Yeah, I'd love
we'll give you a pound for Suarez. That deal's still on.
I'd love him and Ed Woodward to sit around the table and negotiate something.
You would love it more than you would love Diego Costa and Luis Suarez together, because that's what we're all thinking.
Yeah, that's
about.
What we all want.
Yeah, no, that is what I want. Yeah.
Legion of Doom.
The thing is, a lot of people say, well, Suarez can't run anymore. He can't to the same extent.
Yeah.
You know, he's had his knee problems. But we know he can finish.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's got the desire. And I think the thing is, the pace with which Atletico play football, mm-hmm. it's all very slow and considered. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, very suitable for them. I mean, he's very suitable for them in, obviously, certain ways, but yeah. I think in other stylistic ways he could be pretty important for them as well. Of course, the fact is they're still chatting to Edinson Cavani at the same time, because Morata is going now. He arrived in Turin at midnight to seal his return to Juventus.
That's a nice little one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
See, now, I know that Edinson Cavani is 33 years old, but a player of that quality being available on a free in this market, I'm surprised that he's not being linked with everyone, left, right and centre.
The problem is...
linked with Real Madrid.
Yeah, the problem is if you go into a negotiation, come to a sort of ballpark agreement, and then your brother stroke agent afterwards says, yeah, you're going to have to whack a couple of extra million on that, otherwise he's just going to be doing his horse riding around Uruguay for the next couple of months.
What's his brother's name, do you know?
Paolo, I think.
Okay, well, his brother Cavani, so he's a bit of a sausage.
Brother Cavani.
Yeah.
So he's effectively making him a very expensive free transfer.
That's frustrating. But Real Madrid were so you've got Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid interested in Edinson Cavani. So apparently Simeone's had a chat to him, Andy. Who would you fancy him going to out of those two? It's got to be Atletico. Why is he not already at Atletico?
Well, he's a very...
perfect player for Simeone.
Yeah, I mean, the running and the more running. And the fact that he's had 6 months break.
Yeah.
And, you know, his pre-season training has been manual work, if you look at his Instagram. It's like 1930s pre-season training.
But even though he's 33 years old, he still has a good few years left. Yeah. Again, we talk about Ibrahimovic being a specimen. Cavani is in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult choice if you're Barcelona. Firstly, it's a difficult choice because you're stupid and you always make the wrong decisions. But I think you talk about Bartomeu pulling back there. I mean, there's a strong feeling when Suarez is on the brink of signing for Atletico that you think, hang on, are we giving them the league there? Because it's a bit like when David Villa went to Atletico in 2013 and had a big influence, but times the power of 10.
Yeah.
You know, because Suarez has got such anger that drives him. You think he's going to let Atletico not win the league?
No, and also
after that. But the thing is, if they don't do that, then they're going to get Cavani. I think Atletico are in quite a good position.
Wouldn't you like to see them both teaming up?
I would love to see them both. I don't think there's any suggestion yet that they've got enough money in the pot to do that, because you're looking at Suarez, even after his payoff, getting paid 9 million euros a year net. Mm-hmm. Cavani wants 10.
Yeah.
So that would be quite expensive. I don't think they're in a position.
His brother wants 12.
Yeah. And some Chupa Chups.
I don't think,
you know, they're really in a position to place Diego Costa anywhere at the moment.
Mm.
I mean, Yeah, get them all on board.
Jim, I agree. And speaking of Uruguayans, Simeone's reportedly called Lucas Torreira about joining Arsenal on a loan deal.
That's an interesting
one. What do you think of that?
It's an interesting one because Arsenal were being repeatedly linked with Thomas Partey, but he has, various reports put it at between sort of 45 million and 50 million euros as a release clause for Partey. So Arsenal are struggling to raise the funds for that because they've got to sell players to raise it. One of those players they're looking at doing that with is Torreira. Mm. So you would think something could be figured out there, but obviously, you know, Arsenal are looking at Jose Maurer as well. So it's funny, isn't it? Because the transfer window has become so convoluted, as everything has with football. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of talk of quite complicated loan deals now. We're seeing talk of swap deals that seem like they may actually become a bit more common, because you see them reported in sort of like transfer rooms all the time. They rarely actually happen.
But everyone also has to give a bit at the moment.
Exactly. But people cancelling contracts, like people paying up a player's contract and then not having a transfer fee so they can leave. So I don't understand what's in that for clubs. But so there's all kinds of convoluted, weird stuff happening. So on the surface, this looks like it makes a lot of sense. But we know that things are a lot more complicated than that. And a lot of it's down to the players that both Arsenal and Atletico will want to bring in or move on, the clubs they're going to move on to, like Alvaro Morata might be a big... Alvaro Morata's move, you know, possibly to Juventus, might have a knock-on effect on Arsenal moving Torreira to Atletico and Partey going that way.
Like, it'll mean Dzeko isn't going to Juventus, I think, which is quite a big thing. I've got to ask you, Marcus, do you think that this is the point where Serie A comes back and snatches its rightful crown? Because if we're talking about having to be a bit more creative in the transfer market, Italian clubs are the masters of that, right?
That's very true. That's very true. But I'm afraid it will not have its crown while the Premier League is scoring that many goals and Mitrovic is at the double as well.
I was going to say, just before we move on, like the transfer market at the moment, it really feels to me like the opening credits of Game of Thrones. Do you know what I mean? There's so many moving parts. It's actually like a little mini soap opera in itself. I'm actually quite enjoying trying to figure out how all of this works.
Can you describe the start of Game of Thrones
to me? It's a huge map where loads of little kind of mechanical spinning wheels all come together to create this quite spectacular visual feast.
Oh, I think I might have seen that. Mm.
Yeah. All I can think of is Neighbours, where everyone comes out and like waves on their drive and Bouncer has a little run.
Who gets pushed in the swimming pool?
Is it it's not Henry Ramsey?
No, I'm talking about in the footballing sense. I don't give a damn who, you know.
It's somehow Kevin Keegan.
There you go.
It's like, come on, I've not watched it for 25 years.
You silly sausage. Or Steve Bruce, Jim, either or.
Maybe.
Would make a very pleasing splash. Now, you mentioned...
Like a big Lilo.
Free Brucey.
Someone should make a Steve Bruce Lilo. I'd buy one of those.
And yeah, it would do an all right job. Although you would think all the time, is this going to sink?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just about keeping me up.
It's done better than I thought it would. Yeah. It's not great.
Slowly, slowly deflating.
But then after a year, you might then eventually just sink. But there we are. But you mentioned about, you know, these sort of contracts and transfers and blah, blah, blah. And it can be quite difficult to keep up with it and understanding. But I think, and you'll agree with me here, Jim, the best place to understand it and make sense of it all is Twitter.
Indeed.
It is Twitter.
Best for clarity. Absolutely. Best for clarity.
Absolutely right.
And it's where the guys who really know what's going on come together to let the rest of us laymen know.
Which you know, some people will have seen that apparently there's going to be a swap deal with Arsenal and Chelsea. Guendouzi for N'Golo Kante.
It's Guendouzi for N'Golo Kante, Tammy Abraham, Callum Hudson-Odoi or Mateo Kovacic.
Right.
And
seems like a good deal.
It seems like a very complicated deal, doesn't it?
But on one side you have FC Porto and on the other side you have Bartomeu and Edward Woodward.
So I'm fascinated by this because this was trending all day on Twitter. A lot of people going absolutely mad at the idea that Chelsea might swap Kante for Guendouzi and various iterations of this thing. And so I looked around and the only place I could find any talk of this at all was Twitter. And like, so all of these accounts are reporting like various reports and breaking news things. And basically what people do is they'll put like hashtag AFC or hashtag Chelsea, and then they'll have like a line break and then say Arsenal and Chelsea are meeting to discuss a swap deal for Guendouzi and Kante, blah, 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 blah. And then they'll link to another Twitter account that's just saying the same thing. And it all goes in this circle to the point where there's a couple of them that were just linking to themselves. It's like, you're not even trying, are you?
Your source is this very tweet.
Well, they fooled you because you're sitting in an Arsenal top with Kante on the back. Crying out loud. Well, if it does happen, Jim, there'll be egg all over your face. Although probably not, because you'd be delighted.
I don't like eggs. So
yeah, well, exactly.
That'd be awful.
So up yours. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to finish with some rather troubling news that animals seem to be slowly but surely taking over football. We saw not
nature
that long ago.
Healing.
Yeah. Carlton Athletic versus Ilkley Town saw an alpaca invade the pitch, which was rather concerning. But we thought that was a one-off.
Mm. It was fun, though, wasn't it?
It was very fun.
Alpacas always look like they're having a really good time.
Yeah,
but it wasn't fun for the right-back. He looked quite scared.
He did look quite scared. You know. But when you say, oh, it's a bit of a laugh, it's fun. What if it happens again and again and again and again, Jim? Because we see in the Women's First Division in Brazil a parrot landing on the head of a Sport Club Internacional defender, Bruno Benitez. Or Benitez. Should I say Portuguese? You know, this is
all for it.
Well, do you remember when the Wild Boars years and years and years and years ago?
Balls.
Yeah,
yeah,
they,
yeah.
They sort of. Are we going to see them again?
I hope we are. I hope that grasshopper that that sat on James Rodriguez in the World Cup comes to Liverpool and just sits on him for this. I think I'm all for it because the game in Brazil where the parrot landed on Bruno Benitez's head, he really does just sit there and to her immense credit, she just sort of goes. I'm going to have to wait this out. I'm just going to stand here until this parrot's done its thing.
Well, yeah. If a parrot's anywhere around a football stadium, it should be on Diego Simeone's shoulder. Yeah. It shouldn't be anywhere else.
Uh-huh. I think, they might need to get themselves an eagle like Benfica, Andy, to make sure no other birds are interrupting the play.
Potentially.
Well, sometimes you have to do, don't you?
Yeah.
In Edinburgh, they had a terrible problem with seagulls in a particular part of the town. And so they had to send up a big fighting bird to get rid of them.
Fighting bird. strange time. Was that back when you were selling door-to-door bacon?
No, this was years after. Years right. after. I hear the bacon trade is still alive and well.
Good.
As it should be. So there we are. Right, ladies and gentlemen, on tomorrow's show, Kate, Andy and Jim, you boys are back again.
Yeah, we are.
My goodness, eh?
It's a bit like that bit where the guitarist left the Verve.
Hmm.
Where after I think it was after A Northern Soul, where they said, we're breaking the band up.
Yeah.
And then they all got in the rehearsal room the next day without him.
Very naughty. Oh. Very naughty. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. As I say, Kate, Andy and Jim back tomorrow. Say goodbye, Andy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. Then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.